Turn with me, please, chapter 1. It's going to be quite a lengthy reading, but I tried to cut it back, but there's nothing really you can cut out of it. So just Jonah and chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. March the 23rd, 2019, there was a cruise ship, Viking Sky, experienced engine failure. 1,300 passengers and some crew on board faced strong winds and heavy storm conditions. The boat was 1 kilometer from the coast off Farstad in Norway. The Viking Sky dropped an anchor and issued a distress call to the Coast Guard, requesting immediate assistance and evacuation of the boat. And the call was heard by the Norwegian Coast Guard. When they arrived at that boat by helicopter and by other vehicles, they discovered that two engines had failed. One was still working, but it wasn't strong enough to bring the boat back into safety. Jonah and his shipmates were in a similar situation. They were battered by strong winds, and they needed help. And they could do nothing but cry unto Jonah to awaken him from his sleep and do something. Jonah knew that he could do nothing, only cry unto God. Like the Viking Sky desperately called out to the Coast Guard, they had, just like Jonah, could do nothing, only call to God. Just like the Viking Sky had desperately tried to make it back to the shore, so did Jonah and his shipmates, but they admitted defeat. And tonight, maybe you're here, you're like these two ships. Possibly you're shipwrecked, you're being tossed about in the storms of life with no way out and no escape. What about crying unto God for salvation and let him rescue you from your life? As probably many of you know, this story of Jonah is one that is famous. It is one that you will have a view. Why are you speaking on Jonah in a gospel meeting? It's for a Sunday morning. It's a story that we tell the children, and it's not one for the gospel. Well, let's look a bit closer at this story, this children's story as it's known, and see what we can dig out of it. The first mistake that we can make regarding this passage of God's word is that we firstly consider all the things that Jonah did, and we don't look at what God did. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ships was like to be broken." Verse 17 says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Chapter 4, verse 6, we didn't read it. It says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah." Verse 7 says, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day." And verse 8 says, "And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared an east wind." Do you get the point that I'm trying to make? That perhaps tonight you're here, and maybe you're only here because you were asked to come by somebody. Maybe you're only here to keep somebody happy. Or maybe you're listening online. Maybe you're here just to pass an hour. Thought I need to get out of the house and I'll come. Did you ever consider the possibility that you're here tonight, not just because somebody asked you, or not just because you wanted to pass an hour, but you are here because God wants you to be here? Did you ever consider that God, in a sovereign grace, wants you to hear the news of salvation? And God has many ways to get our attention. And in this story of Jonah, we see how he was heading in the wrong direction, both physically and spiritually. And every move that Jonah made in the story that we've read, God counteracts it with a correction. Is that what your life is like? You see, sometimes he sends a storm into your life. Verse 4 again of chapter 1 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And maybe in your life, you have times of adversity, you have times of trouble that God has sent to awaken us, to make us realize that we're living in sin and we're in deep need of salvation. When a storm comes into our lives, maybe we need to be asking the question, and this also applies to the saved as well as the unsaved, "God, what are you trying to tell me?" Did you ever notice that God sometimes touches someone near you? Verse 5 says, "Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Did you ever notice that when sin starts to take a grip on your life, that it affects other people? Maybe you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening online, and you're breaking a mother or a father's heart because of the way you're living in your sinful life. And the way that your life is, it is making life very difficult for them to cope. Maybe the way you're living is affecting your marriage or your relationship. Maybe you have a partner or a wife or a husband, or maybe you have a work friend that is struggling to deal with you the way that you are. And thirdly, God sends someone to us. Verse 6 says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we not perish." Has God maybe sent someone into your life that has made a difference, that has made you think about your salvation? Is it a person at work, young person? Is it a friend at school, or a friend maybe lives beside you that has come into your life and they are now talking about the things of God? Do you realize that they didn't just come into your life by chance? They came because God has sent them. Do you realize that God is doing all the work and he is placing you under conviction through these people? And maybe tonight you don't realize it. You see, one night I called to see somebody. I happened to be passing their house and I hadn't planned to call and see them. Called in and we chatted for a while. And as I went to go, he said to me, "Can I have a word with you?" And he talked and started to talk about being under conviction. You see, I didn't just call into their house by chance. It wasn't that I just called in to see them. God had sent me to them. I was unaware of it. They were unaware of it. But God had sent me to them. And maybe tonight God is sending someone into your life. Maybe he's touching somewhere near you so that you would realize your need of salvation. You see, God desires us to awaken out of our sleep. And just as God awoke Jonah out of his sleep, tonight he wants to awaken us out of our sleep that we may acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we will come to the realization that as we have heard in song already, that Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins and for mine, that we might repent. And as you read on down, God desires for us to acknowledge our sin. Verses 9 and 10, "And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." Tonight, if you want to get right with God, then just like Jonah, you need to confess your sin. Jonah tried to hide from God. He tried to hide from the other sailors on the boat, but ultimately they found him, as did God. And when they found him, he had no choice but to confess what he had done. And wherever you sit tonight, whether in this building, whether you're watching online, or whether you'll watch it in a future time, please realize this, that God will find you, he knows all about you, and he wants you to confess your sins before him. We are here tonight to help you. We're here, we can talk to you. We don't need to know your sins. We don't need to know all the things you've done wrong. And we can't save you, but praise God, we can point you straight to him that can. And you see, Jonah knew the way out of his sin. Verse 12 says this, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Jonah was fully aware that he was the problem. He knew that it was the disobedience in his life that was causing the storm all around him. And you see, that is just a parallel to our sin. We know that we have a way out of sin. We know that God made a way for us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. And you see, just as Jonah sacrificed himself to save the other man, the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary that we have a way out of our sin. Verse 13 says this, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." Despite the fact that they knew it was because Jonah had disobeyed God, that the ship was being tossed about, they still tried to save themselves. Just like the Viking ship that I told you about, they had one engine working, and before they called out for a rescue, they tried to make themselves back to the shore, but it didn't work out. And maybe you're like that tonight. You know that you have this sin problem. You know you have this confession to make, but you're trying different ways to create your own salvation. Maybe you're paying into a church. Maybe you're confessing your sins to someone, to a priest, to whoever. Maybe you're doing good works, kind to your neighbors and all that, attending church every Sunday. And there may be people come in here Sunday after Sunday, week after week, and year after year. And while it's great to see you coming to this church or any church, it will not save you. I heard a story just this week of a businessman sold his business, and he got 60 million. And I thought, 60 million? He did a lot with that money. And I said to the man that told me, has he any family, or what's he going to do with all his money? He said he has one son who has severe illness. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, there's a man who has just received 60 million, more money than any of us would ever have all together, and yet it's absolutely useless to help his son. And tonight, it doesn't matter what you have, doesn't matter where you are or what you do, if you want to see heaven, doesn't matter how much money you have, that 60 million can't get you into heaven. Nothing can get you into heaven except trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior. Verses 14 and 15 says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. You see, the men realized that in order to be saved from dying on this ship, that they must obey God. And they realized that the only way they could save themselves from perishing was but by to trust God by what Jonah had told them. Jonah finally admitted that he had done wrong, and it was time that he realized that he had to stop ignoring God and be tossed overboard. Verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Isn't that amazing? They feared the Lord. And tonight, here, whether saved or whether unsaved, do we still live a life where we fear the Lord? Do we live to please ourselves and not fear that God is watching, that one day he will be our judge? And if you're not saved here tonight, it is time to fear the Lord. Verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We see that God had prepared this fish. It wasn't by chance. 3 days and three nights God left him in there. And sitting in there, I believe that he realized he absolutely had no escape from God. And as Jonah sat in the belly of that fish, I know we sometimes tell the children it's a whale. We're not told a whale, we're told it was a fish. Whatever size it was, I don't know. But I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant time for him. We read that he was imprisoned in there for 3 days and three nights. And it was at his lowest point, down in the very depths of the ocean, that he realized that he couldn't run anymore. Do you ever stop and ponder those words? We can't run anymore. Were you ever on a boat that was tossed about by the wind and the waves? I remember, and the children don't know even what this is, but the HSAS going to Scotland. I remember leaving Belfast one time and the wind came in really bad. And we were tossed about in the boat. And we had to sit in our seats. Shops and restaurants were all closed because the boat was being tossed about so much. And as I thought about that, I thought, imagine how it was for Jonah. He thought he was going to die on the boat. And then he thought, I'm going to die because I've told them to toss me into the sea. And then to get worse again, he gets swallowed up by a great fish. And I'm sure he just thought, I can't catch a break. I have been tossed the boat, tossed in the boat, tossed out of the boat, and now tossed in the fish. He couldn't physically, mentally, or spiritually get any lower. And he had nowhere left to run, nowhere left to go, and no other way out. And he cried unto the Lord and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Do you ever feel so low that you have nowhere left to go but only to cry unto God? Christians in the meeting tonight, is that a lesson for us? Do we ever get low? I don't know about you, but there's times in life when I feel low. There's times when I feel down, and your day doesn't go right, and things aren't going right, and it just seems to be that everything falls apart. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. I turn to God and I talk to God. I tell him my most intimate problems, my most intimate thoughts, my worries and my fears, and I share it with him. And this is what Jonah did, finally, when he got into the belly of the fish. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. The song used to say, can't get no satisfaction. And maybe tonight you've no satisfaction in life. Maybe you're going from job to job. Maybe you're going from house to house. Maybe you're going from relationship to relationship, church to church, and you cannot find happiness. Well, let me tell you tonight, there's only one place to find true happiness, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see in chapter 2 and verse 9, when Jonah cried unto God, what way did he finish? Salvation is of the Lord. What does that hymn say that we sing? We hear it saying, where could I go but to the Lord? And when Jonah had the realization that he couldn't get any lower, only the Lord could help him, and it was there that he realized that the Lord was in full control. And what about this line of the verse? He commanded the fish to vomit him out. Did you notice that even in the depths of despair, in the bottom pit of his life, that God took care of Jonah? You see, we could have read, the fish spat him out in the depths of the ocean, and he could have been killed trying to get to the surface. But no, we don't read that. We read that the fish vomited Jonah out on the dry land. How amazing is our God. He will take care of all our needs. And tonight, have you got so low in your life that you can't get any lower? Have you tried everything the world has to offer and nothing satisfies? Do you get it? The God that looked after Jonah is the same God. He is the same God that can look after us today. Jonah finally got it. He realized there was nowhere left to hide, and he knew that in order to be saved from his running, from his bad life, he had nowhere to go but to the Lord. I want to turn just, and you can turn with me if you want, or you don't have to Luke in chapter 22, verse 42. And it says this, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then over to the next chapter, 23 and verse 44. And it says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Whoever's listening to my voice tonight, have you got it? Do you get it? That Jesus obeyed the will of God, and he let the will of the Father take place. He made a way for you and for me. And this is the gospel message, plain and simple. If you walk out of here tonight and you don't understand what I have said, then I have failed. I want tonight to make it as simple and as uncomplicated as possible. Jesus hung on the center cross at Calvary, arms outstretched, and darkness over all the earth. And with darkness over all the earth, he endured every sin of the world on himself. And do you know whose sin that meant? That meant your sin, and it meant my sin. Salvation is simple. Let's not get it complicated. Salvation is simple. The thief on the cross simply asked Jesus, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. And right then, right there, the thief on the cross was saved. And that is what we are here for tonight. And wherever you hear my voice right now, you don't have to cry out to me. You don't have to cry out to anybody else, but simply call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. What happened to Jonah after 3 days in the belly of the fish? The fish spat him out. The fish spat him out. And you're probably thinking, why are you emphasizing the fish spat him out? Well, you see, if we had read this story tonight, where Jonah was in the boat, he had disobeyed God, they tossed him overboard, the fish picked him up, well, that would be a great story. But if the fish never spat him out, there'd be absolutely no point in this story being in the Bible. There'd be nothing extraordinary about it. And you see, what is the point of the story on the cross? Jesus hung on the center cross. He died. He was buried. And that was it. No. 3 days later, 3 days, sound familiar in what we're reading? 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, and he proved that death and hell and Satan had no power, no dominion over him whatsoever, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And let me tell you again that the glorious gospel is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our own and our personal Savior, when we realize that on that center cross that he died to make a way of salvation for us. Do you want this salvation tonight? Are you here tonight, or maybe you're listening online? Did you once have the joy of the Lord and you've slidden away? Maybe tonight you want to get back to where you once were. You want to come back and repent for what you've done, and you can do it just now. As I've said already, can you see the comparison? And 3 days later, the fish spat Jonah out. You know, one of the biggest problems that Jonah had was fear. Fear that he couldn't do what God asked, and as a result, he ran. And maybe in the meeting tonight, let me tell you something. Jesus is standing, arms outstretched, waiting for you to run to him, waiting for you to come to Christ. And maybe tonight you're like Jonah, and you're full of fear. You're afraid that you couldn't keep, and I hear this all the time, I can't keep it. I'm not ready yet. You see, I smoke, and I couldn't get saved until I stopped smoking. And I drink, and I couldn't get saved until I stopped drinking. And what happens if I said a bad word? What happens if I did this, or what happens if I did that? And fear is stopping you coming to God. Don't let anything keep us out of heaven. Wouldn't it be sad tonight if you touched heaven's door and you missed it? You walked right up the path to heaven and you didn't get in. I told you before about a guy that I know went to a gospel meeting just like this, and he wanted to stay behind, and he says, no, I'm going to come again another night and I'll stay behind then. Sure enough, he came again another night and he says, I'll stay behind the next night that I come. Told of how he wanted to be saved, but he said he would leave it another night. His other night never came. He never got the chance. 2 weeks later, he was plunged into eternity. And as you move into chapter 3, look at the words of verse 1. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Maybe you're here tonight and God has spoken to you in previous times. Maybe you're at home and listening to this message, and God has been calling to your heart to let him in. And he is speaking to you tonight for a second time. Tonight is the night to get the matter of salvation sorted. You see, the Bible tells us that God shall not always strive with man. What is holding you back tonight? We read in the Bible how God spoke to Pharaoh over and over again. And it continuously says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And in the end, we read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Maybe there's somebody here, God has been speaking to you for a long time. Maybe in the day of grace, he has spoken to you more than once, more than twice, more than three times. Maybe he has spoken to you repeatedly, Sunday night after Sunday night, and you're still not saved. I know people like this. I know people that I speak to daily, and they feel God calling them and God speaking to them all the time. They feel and they openly admit they are under conviction, but they still are not saved. You see, the story of Jonah in reality is not about Jonah, but it's about what God does through him. It is no coincidence that the story begins with Jonah running away from God's plan and ends up with God's plan being fulfilled anyway, despite his reluctance. And with that in mind, we must also see that God did, the work that God did through Jonah was in fact a plan of redemption. And our plan of redemption is found in the finished work and the cross of Jesus Christ. The compassion of God is evident as we finish chapter 4. And it says this, a disgruntled Jonah, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 or 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also as much cattle?" God's compassion and his mercy is not restricted from some. His mercy is for all who are willing to repent and to believe. Divine compassion is shown not to those who think they deserve compassion, but to those who receive it with true repentance and humility, just as the Ninevites did in this story. You see, there is a universal need for grace. The Ninevites that God sent Jonah to preach to needed grace for their wickedness. But Jonah, the insider, and in that case, the preacher, also needed grace. And let me make it clear that the person that stands in front of you tonight, the people that have already stood in front of you here, we are not special. We are no better than anybody else. The person beside you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, or indeed the person in the mirror, we all need God's grace. Jonah was showing grace in the belly of the fish, and yet his heart remained stubborn. Tonight, maybe you've known God's grace. His grace has been made available to you every week, but your heart remains stubborn. As I close tonight, can I plead for you to get right with God? And I know I'm not a theologian. Indeed, I'm not even a preacher. But this responsibility of laying the gospel message before you tonight is great. And I have explained as simply as I can. As I've already said, I want to do it simply, the way of the cross. And just as Jonah tried to run from God, it is very possible that you are doing exactly the same tonight. How many times will God have to shake you to compel you to come to him before it's too late? I had a friend who promised to go to a gospel mission just right beside his house. Promised and promised and promised that he would go, and he never went. And less than a month later, plunged straight into a lost eternity. The matter of salvation tonight is real. And it is serious. And when you stand before God, the excuse that I didn't know I needed to be saved will not apply. You see, the blood of your salvation was on my hands tonight when you walked in here. It was my responsibility to make it clear the way of the cross. And I believe as best I can that I have showed the way of the cross. The blood of Jesus was shed on the cross, and it was back then, and it still is today, as it will be for years to come if we're here, is still sufficient to save us from our sins. Can I plead with you tonight, whether a boy or a girl, whether a young person, a middle-aged, or an older person, don't leave here tonight until the matter of salvation is sorted. As I said to you earlier, if you want to talk, I'm here. If you want to talk to somebody else, somebody you know better, they're here. Nobody's rushing home. We'd only be too happy to talk. If you're a female and you don't want to talk to somebody like me because I'm a male, that's fine. There's plenty of women here who would be very happy to talk to you. And as I finish tonight, please be like Jonah. Stop running away from God. And just in the words of Jonah, I'm going to leave these with you. And these are the words of Jonah in the Word of God. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight that we can come here freely and we can open your Word and we can read the Scriptures. Father, we just pray for the message tonight. Lord, we pray for anyone here. We pray for anyone at home watching online. We pray for anybody listening to this message that, Father, if tonight is the night that they need to be saved, that they will not leave, they will not go to bed, they will not go home until the matter of salvation is sorted. Father, we thank you for making a way for us on the cross. Father, the work of the cross was the finished work of salvation, that, Father, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sins. Father, we just pray for deciding grace tonight. We pray for those who need to be saved, that they will be saved, and that, Father, they can leave here tonight ready and complete for heaven. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." We'll stand to sing, please, after the introduction.